We'll be looking at Ephesians 6, verse 16, as we continue our studies of the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Our enemy, Satan, he doesn't want us to have the things that have been given to us by the Lord. We have the truth, we have the church, we have his word, we have his grace, we have his salvation, we have his blessings, and we have the whole armor of God given to us. And Satan will do everything in his power to strip all of the armor away from us. And what he can't take away from us, he will try to nullify. If he can't take it from us, he'll try to strip it of its power. As we saw in our previous studies, we have to be girded about the loins with the belt of truth. You have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We have to put on the boots of peace. We have to be prepared with the gospel of peace. And today, we're going to look at a very important piece of the armor. As Paul says in verse 16 about the shield of faith, above all, the shield of faith, above all, taking the shield of faith. Shields, first century shields, Roman soldiers were very important to the Roman. There were two kinds of shields that was commonly used. A small round one that was used in hand-to-hand combat, and the other one was a large door-shaped that was about 4 feet by 2 feet. And it was designed to cover the entire body. Two shields. One for hand-to-hand, and the other one a large door-shaped shield. The shield was one of the most important pieces of armor. When Roman soldiers went into battle, they marched together, side by side, with their shields together, followed by the second group holding their shields over their head, an impenetrable barrier. The men up front, they had the shields like this. One against another. All the men behind them, they put the shields up like a roof. When the Roman soldiers went into battle in this manner, arrows, swords, and spears were useless against this military maneuver. Believers, we need a shield, not a man-made shield. We need the shield of faith. The Roman army was so dominant because of these shields. The faith Paul refers to here is not simply the body of Christian belief. What he's referring to is simple faith in God. He speaks of a daily faith in Christ that leads to blessing, to provision, and strength for the journey. Simple faith, simple trust. As my brother read Hebrews 11, by faith Noah, by faith Moses, by faith Rahab, by faith Joshua, by faith, Sarah, by faith. Above all, we are to take the shield of faith. First of all, I just prayed about if you have never come to Christ for salvation, that today would be the day of salvation. So first of all, faith is necessary. It's a non-negotiable. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Necessary for faith. Above all, take the shield of faith. This is where it starts. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You come into the kingdom by faith. Our entire Christian life is built upon and sustained by a consistent believing that God is. And as we also heard in Hebrews 11, but I'll remind you in case you were snoozing at that moment. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us this. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. That's why you come. You repent and you believe because you believe the claims of Jesus Christ. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those who diligently seek Him. After you're converted, you have to daily, diligently seek Him. And in the physical realm, everybody understands that. We all have some form of faith. I just got off an airplane. I had faith that that plane was taking me from New Jersey to Florida. You came here today in a car. You had faith. You trust in bridges. You trust in tunnels. You trust in ships and buses. And you believe that they're safe. You're putting faith in a certain object in the physical realm. But faith in Jesus Christ is far and above the everyday faith that we practice. The faith that you have to get in your car, or the faith to go over a bridge. When we climb into our car and head down the road, or drive over a bridge, our faith is only as good as the object of that faith. When our faith is in Christ, in the Father, our faith is in someone who cannot fail. See, the health and wealth people, the prosperity gospel, they have faith in faith. And it's their faith, matter of fact. The thing about faith is, what is the object of your faith? The object of your faith is to be the sovereign God, the omnipotent God, the supreme God, the all-powerful God, omnipotent, omniscient. Where and what is the object of your faith? Your faith has to be in someone. The faith of the Christian has power because of the object of the faith. Our faith is in an all-powerful God. You see here today, where is your faith? Is your faith in your faith, or is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father? Faith. Where is the object of your faith? True Christian faith never fails because the object of our faith never fails. Faith in God is essential if we want to succeed in our walk with Him. And if we want to see our enemy defeated in his efforts to attack and to destroy us. The shield of faith is necessary because it provides us with our connection to the Lord. That's why it says, above all, take in the shield of faith. That is the connection to the Lord. That is the hand that you put out. The Father blesses, faith is the hand that receives it. Absolutely necessary. It protects us from the enemy who desires to destroy you. Why do you think there's such an emphasis on the health and wealth? Why do you think church has got 30,000 people right now sitting there telling them about their faith in faith as opposed to faith in God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ? Throughout your life, the enemy is going to be shooting fiery darts, fiery arrows at you. In ancient times, the tips of the arrows would be wrapped in pieces of cloth that had been soaked in pitch, tar, resin, and then it would be set on fire, igniting everything that it came into contact with, piercing bodies, burning skin, burning up equipment and gear. And this is what Satan is doing in every one of our lives, every single day of our lives. That's why it says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. But we wrestle against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. Because they're firing the darts, they're firing the arrows at you day after day. They're dipping the arrows in the pitch, in the tar, and they set them on fire. And they're shooting them at you. And they're exploding. And many of us don't even know of that piece of armor. And Paul is saying, above all, you better have the shield of faith. And you better have faith in the right place. Not faith in faith, but faith in God Almighty. The Roman shield would provide an adequate defense against those fiery missiles. If the shield was metal, its fiery tip would be deflected. If the shield was made of leather, it would be soaked in water. You ever hear anything about the water in the Bible? The shield would be soaked in water prior to battle and it would quench all of the fiery darts. Every day the saints of God are assaulted by the fiery darts of the devil. Arrows of temptation. Temptation for immorality, temptation for hatred and anger and covetousness and every sin that's mentioned in the scripture. The fiery darts of temptation have the potential to inflict great damage in our lives. But the shield of faith has the power to quench all of the devil's fiery darts. Let me ask you a question. How did you deal with sin so far today? It's 11:50. How'd you do with temptation today? How'd you do? And you struggle against Satan today? Did you pull them bootstraps up a little higher? Did you, I'm going to do it. I can. Well, when the missiles start firing, I get up at 5, about 5:01, maybe. 5:30 seconds. Before I go to the left. Whoa. Gotta lift up the shield right there. And I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I'm in a gathering like this, there are people that don't even know that that piece of armor even exists. How in the world do you think you can possibly survive? Paul says, above all. When you get up, is your faith in God Almighty and Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit? Or is your faith in your faith? If I say it enough of times, if I believe it hard enough, I'll get some kind of something. My health, my wealth, or something. As opposed to faith, the whole thing about faith is the object of the faith. The fiery darts are fired. The shield of faith has the power to quench all the darts, yet we burn so easily. As the arrow flies towards us, what do? We begin to rationalize that temptation. Well, you know, if God didn't want me to have it, obviously he wouldn't bring it in my path. Oh, how come, God? You start all this rationalization. Why not? And on and on and on. You get in this discussion as the missiles and darts are being fired at you. And you're trying to rationalize what's going on. And what's going on is you're being attacked from the moment you wake up. We have to put on the whole armor every day. I've been in this series for 3 or 4 weeks now. And you cannot leave any part off. You have to gird your loins with the truth. You have to live a righteous life day in and day out. You have to have the gospel of peace on. You have to know about an imputed righteousness. You have to know about propitiation. You have to know about atonement. You have to know all of these things. And the moment that the missile hits the shield, that's how you respond. You believe the scripture, you believe the promises, you believe what God Almighty says about you.
Amen.
It's no longer you who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in you. You've died to sin. And at the moment that missile's fired, that's what you believe. We begin to justify so often what we're about to do. Well, you know, it won't hurt anybody. This is like the life of every believer every single day. It's this back and forth thing that goes on. Satan's firing. And rather than pick up the shield of faith, you're like, And you start this rationalization, having this conversation. Yeah, well, you know, that wouldn't be too bad. After all, what would it really hurt? As opposed to the moment that thing is fired, you pick up the shield of faith. But there's this debate going on with Satan. And there's no debate from him. If we by faith believe God's word, the shield flies up and the arrows fall to the ground. And they just keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. You don't have to raise your hand, but is that anybody's experience? That unforgiveness comes every day. That's right. You can hate him. You can hate her. You can steal that. You can steal this. You don't have to be faithful. I'd lie a little here, a little lust. A little of this, a little of that. As opposed to the moment that comes, the shield of faith goes up. Satan, he desires to defeat us. That's what I'm saying to you. Even if you know that scripture, and you're applying it every day, it's a battle from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. And let me carry it further to the day you die. You're in a battle. It's not vacation. It's a battle. That's why Paul uses the illustration of a Roman soldier. Everybody he was writing to in Ephesus, they knew exactly what he was talking about, because there was one of them standing next to the person. And if you were in prison, he was the guy standing in front of your jail cell. Satan desires to defeat us, and his primary means of accomplishing this is getting you to sin. And he gets you to sin by you not putting up the shield of faith. And whatever your flavor of temptation is, just like Baskin-Robbins got 31 flavors, well, Satan got more than 31. And he knows your favorite flavor. And he just keeps firing, and he keeps firing. And when you doubt God, you disbelieve. And the scripture says, whatever is not of faith is sin. The moment you doubt God and don't believe God, you're sinning. Now you talk about acceptable sins, that's an acceptable sin in the church. You can doubt God, what's the big deal? The big deal is you'll be dead in your spiritual walk if you disbelieve God. Because in effect you're saying, God, you're a liar. God says in the scriptures, sin shall no longer reign in your life. And if sin is reigning in your life, you're doubting God and you don't believe it. Because that's what the Bible says. So that's what you do. The moment a dart is fired at you, a missile is fired at you, you count that to be true, what Almighty God says about you. You reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God. What does reckon mean? You count it as true. God says you're dead to sin, so the moment that sin is fired, that temptation is fired at you, you got to believe what God said as opposed to what Satan says. And then we still have a body of death. We're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but you still have the remnants of sin alive and well. They're not as powerful as they used to be. But that battle is still going on. And most of us, you're dealing with the same sin you dealt with when you were an unbeliever. Like I said, that's your flavor of choice. And he knows what it is. Satan fired his first fiery dart in the garden. Turn to Genesis 3. First dart fired. First round that came over the bulkhead. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? And the answer should have been, yes. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the gutter? Then he answered, no, he didn't say that. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. Okay? There she got it right. God did say that. But then here's where she got it wrong. Nor shall you touch it, lest you die. He said, don't eat it. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day of you that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Notice what I was saying about rationalizing and reasoning. She saw the tree was good. Oh, that guy, he looks good. That girl looks good. That job looks good. The house looks good. The boat looks good. Looks good. It's good to the eye. She saw the tree was good for food. That was pleasant. Oh, looks good. You ever notice they don't show a bunch of ugly people in commercials? There's a reason why. Looks good to the eye, pleasant to the eyes. And a tree desirable to make one wise. You can be very smart if you do this, Eve. And she fell for it. And we do the same exact thing day after day. Did God really say you shouldn't do this? Did God really say you should do this? And by faith, you either count that to be true at that moment or you don't. And if you don't, by faith, believe what God Almighty says, the dart's going to hit you. You may have a shield up a little bit. May get splattered. You know, let me just say this. You know, I've been saying it about in a personal way. You and Satan. But realize this. Those soldiers that were together, they were a unit as one. When the flaming missiles would come, if the person didn't have the shield up in the right place, the right way, guess what happened? The people to the right, the people to the left, the people in front of you, the people in back of you, they were all getting damaged. They were all getting the pitch, the tar, the flaming debris all over their neighbor, their friends, their family. You make the connection? Sin is just not your problem. All of your friends, and more so your family, your spouses, your children. There's one thing, you're single, you're by yourself, you got no family, no friends, you're not in a church, you're alone on some island by yourself. But every one of us are surrounded by people, especially in the church. Now, if you don't have your shield of faith up and have it up the right way, when that missile hits, that one's getting burnt. That one's getting injured over there. This shield of faith has far-reaching implications. If you just look at it in a selfish manner, well, it's just me, I got to have the shield of faith up to have victory. You have to look to all the damage that you're doing to everybody else. Because you're refusing to put the shield of faith up, or if you have it up, you got to tilt it, or you got it going forward, or not picking it up sometimes. And the missiles are hitting that thing, and everybody around is getting injured, getting set on fire. When Christ was tempted, turn to Matthew 4. This is how you deal with the fiery missiles. We have the example from Christ. Look at Matthew 4, verses 3, 4, 7, and 10. Matthew 4, verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. There's the arrow of fire. There's the temptation. If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But He answered and said, that is the way each and every one of us is to respond, that every single temptation that ever comes. But the scripture says, the Bible says, why do you think Satan doesn't want you in the Bible? Why, he wants biblical illiterates. Or he wants you having faith in something else besides the Bible. But he answered and said, we're to look to Christ and our sanctification. How did Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, how did he respond to temptation? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What did he do? He counted it as true what the scriptures say. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When that missile starts firing, it's probably even firing now. You're hearing stuff like, that dude's nuts. Oh, missile. But is it in line with the Bible? If you're a health and wealth kind of prosperity person, you're hearing about faith and faith, you're like, oh, I don't agree with that. Missiles being fired at you all day long. Verse 7 of Matthew 4. Jesus said to him, saying, tempting him again, Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Don't you realize that that's what you're doing when you say no to the promises of God? When you doubt the promises? You're tempting the Lord your God. You're presuming upon his grace. He loves you and he saved you. He adopted you. You're a saint seated in heavenly places. You have eternal life. And you keep playing this game year after year after year after year after year. How long will you tempt God? It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. In verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written. That's how you handle Satan. You don't rationalize more. You don't say, well, this guy said, or that girl said, or what about this group, or that group, or this could be bad, I don't know if it's bad, I want it to be bad, I want it to be good. It is written. I have no authority, you have no authority outside of this word of God. No man, no woman, no denomination, no group of individuals, nobody has any authority outside of the scripture. And Christ said right there, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's telling you, that's how you live the Christian life. What is the shield of faith? It's so simple, any child here can understand it. Simple trust in God. That's what faith is. Taking God at his word. That's why it said about the faith of children. You got to have faith of a child, not to act childish. But that child, well, they should trust. My daughter used to trust. I said, hey, jump down the stairs into your father's arms. She trusted me. She had faith in the object was her father. And she jumped off the stairs. I know that's probably a little stupid. If she would have hit the ground, that would have been... I don't know how good that illustration is. Don't try that at home, they say, right? In commercial, don't try that at home. Simple trust in God. It's taking him at his word. Believing him in all things. Putting him and his will ahead of everything in your life. From the moment you wake up, you put on the whole armor. Paul says, above all, most of us, we roll out of the bed and run for a cup of coffee or tea or put the TV on or the radio or some kind of something. Now I see them, Google or Alexa or whatever her name is, they talk to a little thing and it does everything for you. The first thing, you better have that shield of faith up before you even get out of the bed. When Satan fires his flaming arrows at us, we're able to hold up the shield of faith and watch the arrows fall to the ground. And it's only done one way. In closing, go to Romans 1, verse 17. It's very, very simple, but very, very profound. And that's the problem. It's too simple for us. We got to have things complicated. You know why? Because if we really believed what he's saying simply, we would stop playing the games. And that's what he wants all of us to do. Romans 1, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Christ. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, notice, from faith to faith, as it is written. What? The just shall live by faith. There's no magic potion, there's no silver bullet here, people. It's simple trust in God, but it has to be applied every day of your life, moment by moment. You can walk out the door and start reasoning with Satan. When that car cuts you off and you start reasoning why you should hate that person, and Lord's like, well, why don't you pray for that person? And you believe that to be true, you're supposed to love your enemies. And Father, we thank you that you have told us that faith is the very lifeblood of the believer. You've told us, Father, simply. But yet, we make things complicated because that's part of making any excuses. Father, may we be as Jesus Christ, facing death, would say, nevertheless, Father, thy will be done. May we, Father, every day be quick to put on the whole armor of God. And above all, may we take up the shield of faith in order that we would be able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy, every fiery missile. And Father, I would pray that as we are about to partake of the Lord's Supper today, that those of us that are gathered here would understand that that is an act of faith. And as we'll see, what is the object of that faith in the Lord's Supper? But once again, it can't just be some bread and some wine. It's got to be something more. But you have said it's not more. You simply said the just shall live by faith. And Father, I would pray that you would even grant us that faith to believe in what you have said. And Father, we ask you these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.